Good morning, saints and friends. Joy, let the joy of Jesus fill your spirit today. We're coming to you today from the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in San Bernardino, California, where we have the joy of the Lord in praise and worship, in Bible study and fellowship, in ministering for the kingdom of God, giving our gifts and talents to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are inviting you to share in this ministry of witness, this ministry of the word, of the gospel that we are spreading over the airwaves in hopes that it will find a place in your hearts, in hopes that you will be drawn to share with us this glorious work that God has created us for. You can go on our website and see the many ministry opportunities that you have to be a part of, to be benefited by. You can come to our worship physically in person now. We're so glad to be back in the house at 1575 West 17th Street in San Bernardino. And if you're not able, then continue to make sure you tune in every Sunday here at noon to this gospel word that comes over Studio W Buzz. Hope is alive. We hope it's alive in you. There are great things happening in the ministry of the church here this month. It's been a month focused on healing, as this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful healing service, praying for caregivers, praying for folk who are infirm, praying for folk who have procedures and surgeries and operations and all kinds of things going on that have made them anxious. We pray for their peace. We pray for their healing. We pray for their health, because we know the one who is able. Today, we had the leadership of our laymen in the worship experience. And at the end of the month, our missions ministry, which is the ministry that ministers primarily to our women as well as those who are in need in the community. And they will focus their ministry to women in a conference on the 28th and the 29th called Sister to Sister. And on fifth Sunday, Dr. Lori Fairley Green will be preaching the word, and we know that that's going to be a very special time, so we want you to be part of it. And then we're going to get ready for our fall revival and Holy Spirit convocation. We have three nights of classes at 6 p.m. and then worship at 7 p.m. focused on the work and the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. We have classes like Help Me, Holy Ghost, What's in Your Fruit Basket, and Mighty Counselor. And our revivalist for the week is Dr. Welton Pleasant, Christ Second Baptist Church of Long Beach, California. I tell you, the Feast of the Lord is going on at New Hope. You can reach us at 909-887-2526, and we'll be pleased to catch you up and apprise you on all the ministry opportunities that you can take advantage of. For this moment, let us take in another gospel selection as the word and the message comes in music, and then we shall have the word proclaimed as it comes from the scriptures. God bless you, and may what you hear be find a welcome place in your heart, and give glory to God with new commitment, new devotion, new conviction. It belongs to Him. Amen and amen.
Got a blessing waiting for you if you do all the things that He told you to. Be honest, faithful, kind-hearted, and true. God's got a blessing waiting for you. God got a blessing just waiting for you if you do all the things that He told you to. Be honest, faithful, kind-hearted, God's
just wait. Let me say it again. God got a blessing just waiting for you. If you do all the things that he told you to, be honest, faithful, kind-hearted, and true. God's got a blessing just waiting for you. God got a blessing
waiting for you.
If you do all the things that he told
you to,
be honest,
faithful, kind-hearted, and true.
God's got a blessing just waiting. Y'all help me. Tell him God
got a blessing.
God
got a blessing.
My Father
got a blessing.
My Father
got a blessing.
And it's waiting.
Got a blessing.
And it's waiting for you.
Got a blessing.
And now I wonder tonight.
God,
is there anybody else here tonight that know God got a blessing?
Got a blessing.
And it's waiting on you.
Got a blessing.
It makes no difference.
Got a blessing.
What condition you think you are in tonight?
Got a blessing.
God has got a blessing.
Got a blessing.
He's got a blessing for you.
Got a blessing.
You may be sick.
God bless it.
Look like you can't get well.
God bless it.
But how many here remember that
God
woman
bless it.
That had an issue of blood?
God bless it.
All the doctors said
God
there's no cancer. Said there's no way.
God bless
there's no way you can be healed. One day she met a man
God
that already knew her condition.
God bless him.
He wanna bless you.
God bless him.
He wanna bless you tonight.
God bless him.
You may not have a medical condition,
God bless him.
But he wants to bless you tonight.
God bless him.
How many know he's money if
God
you wanna be money? Know he's a doctor if you want to be a doctor. How many know he's everything you want to be? Just let it go.
Indeed, indeed, God's got a blessing with your name on it. And chief among those blessings is the blessing of the gift of salvation. I draw your attention to two passages in the book of Romans today. Romans chapter 5, 17 to 20, and Romans 6, verses 8 to 10. Listen carefully for your blessing. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. I want to use for a theme, once and for all. I don't think we have as great an appreciation as we should have for what Jesus had to do to take our sin away and give us the gift of salvation. We live in sin. We live around so much sin that it has become familiar and commonplace. Instead of being to us ugly and reprehensible, we've learned to tolerate it. We've learned to live with it. We even wink at it sometimes and make it feel right at home. And we have lost an appreciation of what God required to get rid of it. The wages of sin is death. Wherever sin shows up, death shows up as well. Death shows up sticking his bony finger at us, demanding that his wages be paid in full wherever he finds sin. Adam first incurred the debt by disobeying God, but the charge was laid against every succeeding generation. Sin kept showing up all through the scriptures. It showed up in the murdering hand of Abel, who killed his brother Cain. It showed up again in the drunkenness of Noah. Sin showed up in the deceit Jacob had to have in his heart to steal the birthright of his own brother Esau. It showed up in the lust of Sodom and the poisoned passions of Gomorrah gone out of control. Sin kept showing up and was surely evident in the enslavement of Israel in Egypt. You can go from the Old Testament scriptures to the New Testament times today, and you will see that the trek of human history is soiled by the twin footprints of sin and death, traveling everywhere together. The gulf of separation between God and humankind could not be crossed without a divine initiative to invite us back and show us how to get to God. Heaven knew that the chasm between earth and glory was too wide and deep for us to cross by ourselves. So thank God, there was a plan set in motion to bring about a recovery from the condemnation and captivity of sin. The plan was a progressive plan. God didn't reveal all he had in store at the same time. He showed us a little bit here and showed some more there, each part of the plan revealing some more about who God is and what he requires of us. The commandments were delivered. That should have been enough. But though the commandments were burned in stone, they never got truly written in our hearts. So the plan had to unfold some more. The laws were spelled out and expanded, giving us some sense of what God requires for us to be in a right relationship with him and each other. But the laws were so voluminous and weighty, we couldn't keep up with them. And in this flesh, they seemed so difficult to adhere to. The prophets were sent, but their message would not be heeded or fully embraced. They would declare over and over, "Thus saith the Lord." But too often they were received like strangers and enemies, because men have loved darkness rather than light for a long, long time. God did all that, unfolding the plan, trying to demonstrate a little at a time, trying to show us in more ways than one that he loves us in spite of ourselves. He wants us to come back home to him. He sent Ezekiel to declare, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed against me, and make you a new heart and a new spirit." You have to know that even as he spoke those words to Ezekiel, there was a sense of frustration in God's heart, knowing that we could not of our own selves make us a new heart. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Therefore, repent and live. Ezekiel's call for repentance joined the echo of other voices in the corridor of time, calling on behalf of God for his children to make up their mind that it was time to get right with God. I celebrate today that God's love is not the kind of love that gives up easy. God hung in with his people after they broke his covenant. God hung in with his people when they bowed to idol gods, gods of wood and stone and metal that they had crafted with their own hands, gods who were no gods at all. He hung in with them even after they cried out, preferring somebody else to rule over them. Give us a king that we can see. I tell you, real love does not give up easy, and it is determined not to fail. But it became clear to the Godhead that by the works of the law that was given, no flesh, no man could be justified in his sight. A higher price would have to be paid. The death of the prophets was not enough. The sacrifices of bulls and goats, that was not enough. Not enough to buy back the soul of humankind from sin's captivity. There had to be a new covenant. The writer of Hebrews reports that God evaluated the first covenant himself and found that it was too old, obsolete, and ready to vanish away because it was not sufficient enough to bring us back into a right relationship. More had to be done. Something else that would have to be done once and for all. God seeing how great was our urgency of need, God knowing that the remedy would have to be more special than anything that had happened before, God knowing that whatever was done, it had to settle the debt in the court of justice and put into effect a plan of salvation that would not ever have to be revived. It would be carried out by one who would not need a successor. That's why the word says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We were under a judgment of death, don't you see? But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, as the court of justice would prescribe. He sent his son so that the world through him might have life. That same Jesus died on the cross and paid sin's wages. The price was too high for you or for me. Yes, we are sure to die, but our death without his death would be an eternal death. He alone is worthy to be offered as an unblemished sacrifice. A sacrifice that would not have to be made over and over again. He alone is worthy to stand at the judgment bar and plead for forgiveness for those who know not what they do. Because in all of his doings, Jesus never transgressed against the Father's will. I tell you, he alone is worthy to reserve some space in the kingdom for whoever cries out like the thief, Lord, remember me. And because he is worthy, and because he has the Father's prior approval on the plan of salvation, he only had to die once. You see, when the blood of bulls and goats was required, they had to be brought over and over again. But the blood of Jesus only had to be poured out once. When Jesus exclaimed on the cross, it is finished, he did so knowing he only had to do what he did once. Once means that what Jesus did, he did completely. So you be careful about folks trying to add to the criteria of what God requires for salvation. If you confess you are a sinner, if you believe in your heart that God raised his son, Christ Jesus, from the dead, you shall be saved. Once means Jesus is the one who should come, and you need not be looking for another. But there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Once means what Jesus did the first time was so right that there is no room for improvement. Jesus died once, and he died for all. Jesus could have died just for the folk in his own time and then make every succeeding generation prove their worth. But no, he died once and for all time, once and for all people, so that anybody and everybody, from the jailhouse to the White House, and thank God even for those who have no house, even they could experience life-changing, soul-saving love. You see, the dimensions of God's love does not leave anyone wondering if Jesus included them. When he came to the world to give the gift of salvation by shedding his own blood, when God saved Saul on that Damascus road, he proved that his love was so high that even folk who have an overinflated assessment of their own goodness could discover in him who they really are and become what God wants them to be. When God saved that Ethiopian eunuch on a desert road to Gaza, he proved his love is wide enough to take in strangers and outcasts, nonconformists not welcome in the mainstream of society. When he saved the likes of demon-possessed Legion and Mary Magdalene, he proved that his love is so deep that he can reach folk who have fallen below bottom. You see, anybody can love somebody who is good and upstanding. Everybody loves a winner. The bandwagon is always full when your star is on the rise. But Romans chapter 5, verse 8 declares that God showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When nobody else wanted to claim us, Christ died for us. That's why he could tell a thief on the cross today, "You will be with me in paradise." He could do it because he's got the kind of love that sees the best in us, even when we are at our worst. I tell you, all takes in the least and the greatest. All includes the bottom and the uppermost echelon. All includes the high class, the low class, and the no class. There is nothing philosophically or theologically complex about the word all. All just means all. Christ died once and for all. He even has a missing persons list of folks who have been scratched off our list. They're on his list. He's got a list of all the folks who, for one reason or the other, have been blacklisted by us as not worthy of salvation. He's got a list of misfits, a list of folk who have been put out and counted out. They are those who have fallen, been forgotten, and forsaken. And it might not have been so long ago that you and I would have fit one or more of those categories. But aren't you glad? He died once and for all. I tell you, it's good news, and you ought to leave wherever you are today declaring that story to somebody who has only a friend or two. Perhaps no friends at all. Tell them he died once and for all. It's good news for the backslider who strayed so far away that they don't remember which direction is home. It's good news for the person who messed up so bad they can't even forgive themselves. It's good news for anybody who has the misfortune of being somebody nobody wants to be bothered with. I tell you, he died for all. sin can break you down and leave you for dead, but death is no longer your sentence to serve. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He died once and for all, so says the scriptures. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I come to announce he died, but thank God that's not where the story ends. He's alive. He's alive, I tell you. He's alive. Got up from the dead, got up from the grave, and thank God, got up in me one day and saved me from sin. He lives in me now, and I live in him, not only in time, but in eternity. He died once and for all, and he arose with all power. I don't have any qualms about it. I have no reservations about it. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. How about you, saints? How about you, brethren? How about you, stranger, who may just be introduced to Jesus today? Is there in your heart a yes, Lord? Is there in your soul a hallelujah? Even for me, has he done it even for me, you ask? I say, yes, he has. He's included you in all. And so I pray that with this word today, there is conviction in your heart to believe that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again, and that he's coming back for you, according to your faith to believe the report concerning him. I pray today your answer to that question is, yes, I believe. Lord, help any of my unbelief and make me yours, wholly and completely. In full surrender, I offer you my mind, my heart, my soul. And I tell you, he will make you his child, bring you into his kingdom, make you a part of the family, for he has come to adopt us all into the inheritance that belongs to us through Jesus Christ. We'd be so pleased to know of your decision. You would call us at 909-887-2526. We'd be pleased to guide you in your journey toward deeper devotion and commitment and communion with Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've even become a part of a membership of the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. God bless you with this word, and may the Holy Spirit continue to bring it to your remembrance that he died for you as surely as he did for all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah and amen.
This song really speaks the sentiments of my heart. I never lost my praise.
I've lost some good friends along life's way. Some loved ones departed in heaven to stay. But thank God, I didn't lose everything. I've lost faith in people who said they cared. In the time of my crisis, they were never there. But in my disappointment, in my season of pain, one one thing never changed. I never lost my hope. Oh, I never lost my
Thank you. Thank you.